All right, I'm on the outlet. Okay,
On
okay. All right.
Wait, Lance, are you going to say something different than you said last time?
What did I say last time?
I don't know, but I see Matthew's note here about being an astronaut.
This is All Things Education, a podcast where three-decade teachers discuss what they know.
The good, the not so good, and the continuous opportunity for high-quality education in Texas.
Join us for a smart conversation as we dig deep into the issues that affect us all in and around our great state.
And here are those three trailblazing instructors now.
Hey again, everybody. This is Natalie, a campus leader from San Antonio, Texas.
This is Matthew, a middle school teacher in Austin.
And as always, my name is Lance. I'm teaching high school math up here in Dallas, Texas. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
How's it going, guys? So how were your weeks?
Man, this week was a doozy of a week for me, but we're still standing and happy to be here chatting with you guys once again.
Absolutely. It's always fun in this time of year, the in-between breaks kind of home stretch leading into holiday season. But I'm really excited to talk to y'all and talk about today's topic.
Yeah, we had a big speech debate tournament on Friday night, and I'm happy to say we crushed it, which was pretty awesome.
Nice. Congrats.
Yeah. Super proud of my kiddos. They did awesome. So that was really fun. And happy to talk about this topic today. This episode is Show Me the Money. And today we are going to be talking about teacher pay. So earlier this year, the Washington Post columnist Daniel Pink wrote an op-ed titled, Why Not Pay Teachers $100,000 a Year? And in the article, Pink uses individual stories and raw data to draw attention to what he believes is an underlying problem in our education system. Teachers are vastly underpaid. He points out the fact that on the national average, teachers have faced an 8% pay cut in the past 10 years, due largely, of course, to inflation. That teachers make significantly less than those in other professions with similar education and credentials, and that teachers are paid 22% less rather if they had taken a job outside of the classroom. So it should come as no surprise that salary is the number one driving force in teachers deciding to leave the profession. And teachers are, of course, leaving the profession to the point where 44% of schools are understaffed. Pink points out that based on research, and there is plenty of it, that the number one factor impacting student performance is the quality of the educator. Today, we're going to dive into this issue of teacher pay. Why aren't teachers paid more? What impact might low teacher salaries be having on Texas? And finally, what might it be like if teachers were paid significantly more? Natalie and Lance, I'm excited about this topic. Let's dive into it. First off, what do you all think of the article?
I love the article, and we'll definitely link it in our show notes so that everybody can click on it and take a look at that really opinionated stance. Pay teachers more. Why not 100K a year, right? And I want to make sure that our listeners know that we're not just trying to come at this topic from a biased, like a show me the money, we deserve more greedy gumdrops
right.
mindset. It's not, I mean, obviously we all want to be paid more. And by we all, I mean people. But there are some really strong arguments here about the tangible benefits that will be had if you were to pay teachers more. And there's a lot of historical and recent context kind of explaining this. So, Natalie, what did you think?
You know, I resemble a lot of the remarks that he made about the impact on teachers. And I don't mind being vulnerable on this episode and talking about that to an appropriate extent, but feeling the crunch of the economy and the lack of compensation that is commensurate with our experience, our credentials, to maintain something competitive in terms of just the cost of living in this economy and with inflation as it has continued to increase over the recent years. I can speak to that just as a human and, of course, as an educator. So this is a really, of course, important topic. It's been an important topic for as long as I can remember. I've shared before that I come from a line of educators, and pay has always been, one of those things that it's always looming and we never seem to find the answer or the resolve around it. So I'm hopeful that maybe we can generate some ideas that spark some conversations wherever they start up in this upcoming legislative session.
Yeah, that's great. I totally second everything that you just said, Natalie. As a teacher in Austin, I can tell you firsthand that it's hard to just get by. I got really lucky in terms of when I bought a home, but in this current market, on a teacher's salary, had I not sort of bought it at a good time, there's no way I'd be able to afford a home in Austin. Grocery shopping, I've got a family of three, is tough. Being able to sort of go out is really challenging based on the salary that I get. To me, this teacher pay is the single most important issue in education, hands down. And I think that this has been an issue for a long time, not just in Texas, but certainly in Texas, but nationwide. And I think most people would agree that teachers are underpaid. We work really hard. On Friday night, I work from 7:30 till 10:30 at night. A lot of the time I'm coming home to do sort of grading, lesson planning. There's a lot that goes into this, but we're just not compensated enough. And so I think it's no surprise that people are leaving the profession in huge, huge numbers. I have a question for you guys, a personal question. Do you feel like you're making enough money? Do you feel like you're being compensated based on your salary?
Well, that anecdote that you just shared about your Friday night is representative. It's a microcosm. Two of the biggest factors leading to teacher underpayment in this country are unbillable hours, as you just described. That's when we are lesson planning, when we go home or grading in the morning before our exact contract start time, or when we're chaperoning an event on a Saturday or watching the kids' basketball games or the football games on a Friday night. All of those are unbillable hours. Similar government-paid employees in this country would never even dream of doing activities like that outside of their clock in and clock out hours without getting paid some sort of overtime. So that's part of it. And then another part is just how much of our own money we spend on supplies. And other things that we need for our classrooms, that is a constant drain so that we can be the best that we want to be. None of us are coasting. And even when we do inherit great resources or curriculums or things in the supply closet at our school, I would wager that the majority of teachers are still spending several thousand of their own dollars on
Yeah.
classroom supplies per year, which leads to this situation. What about you, Natalie?
Yeah, I mean, to simply answer your question, do I feel like I make enough money? No.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it is in alignment with the work that we do. I took this leadership role last year, and I've been in it now. This is my second year. And it comes with a stipend because it comes with more responsibilities. And I have taken on other additional responsibilities with stipends. And even still, I am almost 40 years old and back to living basically paycheck to paycheck as a single parent, as a single income household.
That's
And
relatable.
this is not me, playing the world's tiniest violin, right? In
Right.
a sad, pitiful way. This is just real talk. I, to be quite frank, feel that along with so many other educators, I work too hard to also then live with this sort of constant cloud of anxiety about finances. I just that's my personal feeling, and I know I'm not alone in that, so.
No, it is totally disproportionate what you just described.
Yeah, I mean, I think just about every teacher that I've ever talked to feels that way. I mean, I wouldn't say that I have this conversation necessarily with teachers often, but we're all in this boat together and we're all feeling the crunch. And especially now, or I should say, in the past 5 years, when inflation took off and our salaries did not change. So, now we have to ask the sort of like difficult question, right? Of why. So, teachers in America have never made a, substantially high salary, since the very beginning of public education. Teachers have never made sort of like what would be competitive to other professions. Given credentials, experience, education, and so forth, right? And okay, now it's being felt a little bit more because of the economy and inflation and so forth, but this has never been the case. And so I think the difficult question, right, is to ask, well, why not? We all agree here, and I think a lot of people out there, a lot of our listeners would agree that teachers should be paid a higher salary. But why isn't that the case?
Yes, and I actually did some digging on this topic, Matthew. What you're saying is spot on. The institution of public education in this country actually like predates the Declaration of Independence by over 100 years. It's been the first American public school was founded around the 1630s. So we're talking a long, long, long time ago, since public education has been a factor in this country. And originally, and of course, all sorts of stories like this can be apocryphal or have, variability in how truthful they are. But the modern stereotype when people say that te if you can't do teach, right, actually kind of has its roots in this historic context where it was actually not a highly skilled position originally. When people were in the classroom in the 16 and 1700s, this was not something that necessarily required a higher degree or a high level of education. We might think, I mean, of these schoolhouses as having, essentially babysitters. I think that's probably overstating it, but that was the idea. But over the centuries, and I mean literally over the centuries, the stereotype has maintained, even though the level of education required to be a teacher has actually increased. And so nowadays, teachers are actually some of the most educated people in any of the workforces in this country, especially commensurate to their pay. We are, as Natalie was just describing, disproportionately lower paid for a workforce that is highly, highly, highly educated relative to other workforces. So there is some historic context here.
That's super interesting. I want to point out, I think that it's seven, we are paid 70% of what our counterparts are based on credentials and experience. Natalie, any thoughts as to why teachers aren't paid a higher salary, right?
Oh, that's the age-old question. I think that when we ask that question in like a constructive context with a legislator, for example, we get an answer that, it comes down to a lot of the discussion around, well, we have this one pot and we've got to allocate the resources from that pot, the state pot, to not just education, but all of the other things that the state has oversight on. And while that answer is important in driving the conversation around where we allocate the money, the question ultimately seems to always remain unanswered. Why are we not emphasizing more the priority of putting that money into education in general, and part of that being into teacher salaries? So I don't have a specific answer to the why not, or even a theory as to the why not, but I have just an elaboration on the importance of finding the answer to that or exploring the question itself, because we're talking about losing teachers left and right. We're talking about having difficulty bringing teachers in, and everybody's in agreement that the number one factor in student outcomes is the high quality education coming from a high quality teacher. And because we're not investing in that root source of the quality, I think that we are sending culturally, societally, a message around the value of that education. And one thing that we know in our classrooms is that our clientele today, I've just had this conversation recently with a group of teachers on my campus, is that our clientele is different and they do not value education in the same way that we were grew up valuing education. This generation is different, and their viewpoint of that probably very largely comes from the fact that teachers who are in the classrooms are driving, I'm going to say it kind of tongue in cheek, but we're driving like beat up cars, and kids are saying like, why would I ever want to go into education? You guys work so hard and just to suffer. I mean, my own son has expressed that to me. And he's part of this generation. And it's fair because the optics are that we work really hard and it's a thankless job. And there's this like sort of martyr, well, they're not in it for the money. And it's true, it's not a punch in and punch out job. We are invested in what we're doing, and all the more reason we should be invested in as educators. So I want ultimately to, I guess, tie that with a little bow just by bringing it back to the point of the question is important to answer. Why are we not paying teachers more? And I think that to explore the answer to that question, we really need people who are in those decision-making bodies to zoom out a little bit and look at, because we're not paying teachers more, what are the unintended consequences in terms of the state of education in general?
So there's a lot there that I kind of want to speak to, and I have a lot of different sort of like ideas as to why this isn't the case. But one thing to sort of like clarify for our listeners is that teachers' salaries are not determined at the state level. It's determined at the more local district level. The state determines how much they're going to pay per student, which is very low in Texas, but that's a whole other story. I do want to say though that TEA receives 64% of Article 3 money. That's taxpayer money. That's more money, more tax dollars in Texas go to public education than anything else. Which is going to sort of like lead to one of my points here in terms of why teachers aren't paid more. First of all, from sort of like a historical lens, and I think it still carries over today, teachers don't work a full year. We work less than, our counterparts. We have, a lot of sort of like breaks and summer too. So I think that takes into account sort of like one of the reasons why. Two, is teachers aren't really held accountable to the same standards as in the private sector. Yes, you need a degree to be an educator, but with the sort of like, teacher shortage, the sort of like work experience credentials are, right now, at least in Texas, are not all that high. And it's quite frankly pretty difficult to get fired as a teacher. I think that the accountability system, and this has been the case for a long, long time, across the nation, is that there's really not a great accountability system. Listen, I love teaching. I put my heart and soul into it. There are lots of teachers out there like me who are working our butts off. But then there are also a lot of teachers who are not, and we get paid the same amount of money, more or less. There's really very little in terms of incentive for teachers to go above and beyond. I mean, everybody out there can name a teacher who was hugely impactful in their lives and amazing and sort of like turn them on to this, that, or the other thing. But there are a lot of teachers who are not. And I think that with this question of why teachers aren't paid more, well, you know, if we're going to get a huge bump, if we're going to get $100,000 more, there's got to be something that we as teachers do in order to sort of like, you know, warrant that raise. Just like in any profession, if you get a promotion, if you get a huge pay raise or whatever, in the private sector, well, more responsibilities are going to be added onto your plate. There's going to be more accountability. There's going to be more expected of you. But in our profession, that's really missing. And I know that there are plenty of sort of like, you know, examples of where that's kind of changing or whatever, but I think that's a big factor here.
Yeah, I agree. I think the nature of how we got here is important to consider. And part of that is that because teachers have not seen any movement in the salary, and because there is no accountability system in place, because you're right, I have experience in other industries, and a lot of the things that I see go on a professional level or an unprofessional level would never fly in a corporate setting. But that's just the point, right? Is that the state of this matter in terms of teacher pay has sort of bred this underground culture too of some people who are not always acting in good faith and sometimes not even in best practice. And the attitude is they need me more than I need them at this point, so I can get away with that. And I think that by revamping some of the policy around this and the expectation for teachers as professionals raises the bar for them. And we want that. We need higher quality educators in the classroom. We need to attract them with competitive salaries that are commensurate with the value that they are presented with in other industries. And so that's exactly why we need to really explore this.
You both make good points. I would just add the accountability is needed. I think accountability is needed in any profession, and my continued employment should be contingent on some evaluation or some, you know, meeting of metric of whatever that industry is requiring of me. I would say this though, at risk of like, I don't want to like undermine our overall point here about the need for teachers to be paid more, because it is true that not all teachers are going, as Matthew, you described, above and beyond, right? Not all of the teachers are going to those football games, like I mentioned earlier, and especially as we get older and have our own families, maybe those levels of commitments, you know, gradually erode. But even I would argue the least above and beyond teacher in my school or in any public school in Texas still wears many, many hats throughout the days inherently in the profession, maybe even while they are managing a class of 40 plus students. In some cases, they are the disciplinarian. They are the parent. They are the caretaker. They're the therapist. Sometimes they're the friend, right? You know, teachers aren't supposed to be friends, but we do provide that role sometimes for a kid in need when that's something that they require. And we also work in some of the more unsafe environments in this country when it comes to, you know, school shootings and other dire situations like that. And so I would just say, while accountability is needed, I don't want to detract from the overall point about the need to pay teachers more because of what we do.
Yeah, Lance, I 100% agree with you there. I think that all teachers across the board in Texas could and should receive a pay increase. Now, personally, what I believe is a significant change needs to happen in terms of the way that teachers are compensated. Yeah, I think that like small pay increases needed across the board, hands down, no question. But what I want to see is teachers making six figures, sort of like off the bat, right? I think that would have a profound impact on not just public education, but on the state of Texas as a whole. And so I think if we are going to see, or if we are going to fight for a really substantial raise or restructuring of compensation, that accountability has to be a key component of it. And I would also argue, and Pink in his article points this out, the idea of transitioning to year-round education is something that I think we really should seriously be exploring in Texas. All this being said, I think that like no matter how you cut it, and we can go into the details of this in another episode, but taxes would need to be raised if we're going to pay this huge swath of the population significantly more money, right? And you know, Texans and Americans don't like a raise in taxes. But I want to push back on this point about the impact that a significant raise might have. And so before I go into my sort of like spiel or whatever my ideas of this, I want to hear from you guys. What do you think, as educators, as being in the classroom, what do you think would change if we really reformed the teacher pay and we had this significant sort of like, you know, salary raise? What might be the impacts in Texas?
The immediate would be in terms of like mental health, you know, not if we eliminate the anxiety and the stress that comes with financial insecurity, we show up differently to life, and to our jobs, no less. So I think that when you feel valued, when you have not just feel, but you can demonstrate in some way in this meaningful way that you what you do is valuable and that you are valued in your doing it. I think that totally changes the morale amongst teachers in schools because we're showing up with a feeling of prestige that has not been there for a very long time.
Yes.
I think that trickles down directly into what we were talking about earlier, which is the quality of the education that those teachers are then delivering to their students. And so the students inevitably are going to have a more successful and engaging and enriching educational experience, which is what we want for them. Not because teachers are not already doing their best to provide that, but what I'm saying is when you shift the things that limit how much teachers are able to produce that experience and curate that experience for their kids, then you're going to see an increase in those student outcomes. That's going to be the number one thing, in terms of impact. And how we get there, I think, could be more creatively done than just trying to look at the dollar amount that is attached to a teacher's contract. I think that there are ways that the state and districts can allocate those funds differently in order to provide those increases in pay because the teacher in the classroom is just as important a resource as the curriculum that we vet and purchase and the learning management systems that we vet and purchase at the district level for the student use. The teacher is a resource. The teacher is arguably the most important resource in all of that. So investing in them. And I think also that it can be done creatively in terms of a compensation package versus just the dollar amount that we are getting paid on our paycheck every month. Because if you look at the structure of like corporate America, one of the things that makes it competitive is that your health benefits may not cost as much with this company. The company absorbs the cost more than the employee does. And as public servants in the state of Texas. I think we know that state employees have, I know this because I've looked at jobs, state employees have 100% of their health insurance covered. Can you imagine for teachers how much more that would give them in take-home pay if we had a lower out-of-pocket cost or premium for our health insurance? There are creative ways that we can look at a compensation package in terms of crunching the numbers and doing the math that could make it possible. And I just want to plant that there while I have the mic.
Yeah, and I'll just, I mean, so well said, Natalie. All of those factors are contributing to this situation. And I would just add that maybe for, on the very micro level, a tangible effect is the teacher doesn't have to take that second job and can be more invigorated that next day when they're teaching the kids. Or maybe they can spend some more of their time, learning about the new greatest teaching practices or doing some research or going to, the meetup with teachers from another school so that they can learn more about their craft. I think I've read recently that something like in the entire country, more than 20% of teachers have a second job, up to a quarter in some places of teachers, which is just crazy, right? For a full-time employee, for those numbers to be that high. And then on the more macro level, and this is in Texas specifically, when we talk about the teacher shortage, which has been a problem for many years now, when you pay people, this is, might sound like really simple macroeconomics 101, but when you pay people in a profession more, you attract more people to that profession. I just like it's as simple as that. So there would be effects all the way down at the teacher level and then all the way up at the industry-wide level. For this to happen in Texas, Matthew, to your other question, I think that we're going to see some moving and shaking on this in January at the legislative session without getting too into the weeds, because this probably is a topic for another podcast. We are going to see a movement towards school vouchers here in the spring, which we've talked about on this podcast in the past. But what we're going to maybe see in these bills that come out in the ramp up to this session is how might some of those school voucher initiatives be tied to teacher raises or at least an increasing of the allotment for students in this country, or excuse me, in this state, not in this country, which has not raised since pre-pandemic times. So I just think that's kind of where the outlook is on that topic.
So I like to look at this from sort of like a debate perspective. We talk a lot about impact, timeline, and probability, right? When we're looking into changes. And I think that if you significantly raise teacher salaries to what we're talking about here, $100,000, the immediate impact would be that the teacher shortage would no longer be a problem. Right now, we're at like 44% schools are understaffed nationwide. I know that in Texas, that number is higher. So I think that you would find really quickly that teaching becoming a much more competitive field. I think more and more people would want to become teachers, making that pool much more competitive. If you have the accountability systems in place where you're really looking for sort of like quality, the quality of teachers schools in Texas would be so much higher. Now, teacher quality is the number one indicator for change in student performance. Students would perform at a much higher level. Graduation rates, high school graduation rates in Texas would rise. More and more Texans would be going to college. More college graduates means more educated population, which means more Texans can afford to buy homes. Home ownership in Texas would have a tremendous impact on the economy. I read a statistic that every dollar invested in a student is $20 raised and the property value of the student's home. Okay, so we're talking about raising taxes, but this is a huge investment. Every dollar you raise on a per teach per student equates to raising the property value in that neighborhood. That's property value taxes. I mean, this makes economic sense. It's an investment in the state's future. I just think that this is kind of a no-brainer. Now, the hard questions, right, are like sort of like, how do you hold teachers accountable, and how do we compensate them, right? What does that look like? And Natalie, you definitely spoke to that, and I think those are topics that we can explore in episodes down the road. We have a legislative session coming up, as Lance pointed out. This is going to be a hot topic. Listeners, stay tuned as far as teacher salaries go.
Absolutely. I can't wait to talk about this more, and I'm excited for the new year and to see what comes of it.
Yeah, the conversation is ongoing, and I think if we listen to even what people in elected seats are saying, is that they want all of those outcomes, right? Legislators want those outcomes. Property owners want those outcomes. Parents want those outcomes. Teachers want these outcomes. We want our kids to be successful. We want our economy to be improved, and our kids' success in the classroom translate directly to going into the workforce and being productive and contributing members of that economic system. It makes absolute sense that we are all aligned in the goal. How we get to the goal is the big question mark. And I agree. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to explore that further.
Well said.
All right, y'all. This was a lot of fun. Great talking to you. Great seeing you. And to our listeners, stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to All Things Education.
Be sure to leave us a review and share the show with everyone you know.
If you liked what you heard, stay tuned for more compelling conversations with Natalie, Matthew, and Lance.
Until next time, Texas.